Welcome to Awakening Calls. Every Saturday, we host conversations with guest speakers from all walks of life. Speakers whose personal journeys awaken and inspire our innate spirit of service. Thank you for coming together to plant seeds for a more compassionate society.
So welcome again to our weekly Awakening Call. Today, it's a special participatory call around Kind Spring and also Soul of Women's 21-day Reverence Challenge. So here's how the call will work. In a few minutes, our moderator, Birju Pandya, will engage in a participatory dialogue around all of our experiences with the 21-day Reverence Challenge. And we've already opened up the queue to invite your reflections and questions. So at any point, you can hit *6 on the phone, and you'll be prompted when it's your turn to speak. And if you'd like to share reflections through email, you can also email us at ask@servicespace.org. So as I shared earlier, this week's theme is Ripples in Reverence, and it's really around our reflections and experiences on the 21-Day Reverence Challenge. And to kind of offer a bit more context, this challenge really came about inspired by a dear family in Japan and their practice and kind of gathering every year at the foot of Mount Fuji. They have this practice of just kind of wishing people well at, you know, in all different countries around the globe. And they gather literally thousands of people at the foot of the mountain, and I believe that is actually happening this weekend for them. And as part of this, they wanted to kind of invite people to really spend 21 days leading up to their gathering, engaging in practices of reverence. And so this kind of inspired our Kind Spring portal, which is an acts of kindness website, to launch this 21-day reverence challenge. And it's been really powerful to see, you know, over 4,700 people in all these countries engage and share reflections. And really on the topic of reverence, you know, in an era where sound bites of information can be got with the tap of a finger, or where conversations with loved ones, you know, around the globe can unfold at the drop of a hat, you know, how do we connect with the simple gifts in each moment? And in a time where people in cities see, you know, 5,000 ads a day and where we're inundated with so much stimulus, what prompts us to witness the profound beauty and mystery of life? Where do we find reverence? From this challenge, it's been powerful to see, you know, what inspired people to join this challenge. And then to also, you know, while reflecting on this, I was reading recently that, you know, 22 million people visit Niagara Falls each year, and 11 million people visit the Great Wall of China. And even here where I'm based, 4 million people traveled to Yosemite National Park in 2014. And so there's a, you know, there are these grand landscapes that kind of can help us engage with the daily, you know, those profound moments. And then there's also those small, simple conversations or those, you know, small, simple moments that we've been prompted to do in the last 20 days. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the conversation that will unfold. And since we have the pleasure of a remarkable moderator, Birju, today, I thought we could start by asking him to kick off our circle. And to give you some context, Birju is a volunteer with the Awakening Calls and also one of the visionaries behind Kind Spring's 21-Day Challenges portal. And in other realms, he works in finance and the impact investing world, where he actually inspired by his own personal practices. He started hosting 21-Day Challenges in themes like kindness and gratitude and mindfulness with various groups and companies that he worked with. And even when he got married last year, he and his wife engaged their friends and family in a 21-day gratitude challenge. So he's got a wealth of experience with these challenges and is a keeper of many stories from them. Birju, thank you so much for joining us today. Do you have any thoughts about today's conversation?
And thank you so much for the kind words, Audrey. just a welcome to all, and my gratitude for everyone joining. I'm calling in from Berkeley today, and it was interesting for me to just pay attention to my own mind as I read these questions around reverence. As Audrey mentioned, I have a background that's a little bit more in finance, and so I couldn't help but see the question from that lens. And one of the topics that I've been fascinated with a bit more recently is this idea that there's many forms of wealth out there, and financial wealth is one of them, but there's others. And my experience of reverence on a moment-to-moment basis has been about seeing that I have a tremendous amount of wealth at any given moment, regardless of my circumstance and in a more superficial realm, and to tap into that. I find that is a practice. And on some level, if I am not staying connected to the subtle and allowing myself to really feel the amazingness that's around all the time, then I can miss it. And so I've really appreciated this practice for that reason and for others. So my gratitude, Audrey, for asking me to share as we start our circle here. And I'd love to transition over to actually inviting others into this space. As a little bit more context, as Audrey was sharing, we do these kinds of challenges on the KindSpring portal about every quarter or so. And the way that we've been engaging with it, we're on day 20 of this particular challenge, and I would encourage you to consider this call as part of the challenge. In addition to the daily practices that we're taking on, and the hope is that these practices don't take more than 5 minutes a day to do. And then, of course, we have the opportunity to write about them online and share what's coming up on a day-to-day basis. But the research continues to show that there is tremendous importance in sharing in group, talking about what our lessons learned are. The word that researchers use is praxis, the importance of mixing together action and reflection. And today is about that. Whether you've been a daily participant or not, this space is about a space to share the experiences or the reflections that you've been having, regardless of daily participation and what you're learning from the process. So the hope that I have is we end this call with a stronger sense of community amongst everyone who's been participating or who even has an intention of participating going forward, and a deeper commitment to keep a practice going in our own lives. So I'd love to get us started. I would like to invite everyone to be able to share a little bit about themselves in the process of this call. So just as an invitation, if over the course of the call you are able to at least press *6 and say your name, at the very least, I think that would create a sense of community amongst us as we dialogue on this topic. No pressure, of course, but if you do feel called and just wanted to say your name alone, I think that would add a lot of value to the circle. So with that as a whole bunch of a prologue, I'd love to just ask a simple question to start out, that we all had our own reasons for signing up for this challenge, and I'm curious why you signed up for this challenge. Well, what was it that brought it up for you? And again, *6 is the number to dial to get into the queue as we get started. And the way that I see this call going is I think of the questions that I'll be asking as fodder to put in a soup. And if any one of them strikes you, then feel free to speak to them, but we don't need to have each question be spoken to entirely, and so no need to have the pressure for that. Audrey, any questions before we get started diving in, or any further clarifications?
I think that sounds great. I just one quick thing that pops up for me as I was thinking about, why reverence, or what prompted me to kind of get excited about this challenge was, I was reading a study recently about, where participants were kind of asked to spend 90 seconds or 1 minute looking 90 degrees up at this grove of eucalyptus, really, really tall eucalyptus trees. And as soon as they spent a minute looking up, there was a staged encounter with someone who dropped a handful of tens and in the dirt. And in the study, you know, the study participant didn't know that this was a staged encounter, but people that were asked to look up at the grove of trees before encountering this participant or encountering the person who dropped the pens were more likely to help the person pick up more pens. And so I just thought that was interesting in the sense of how reverence, I don't know, brings us to these deeper connections with maybe ourselves and with others, or helps us see from that lens. So that was just a thought. Looking forward to hearing other reflections on this call, and thank you, Pirju, for your question.
So again, *6 is a number to dial to share your own intentions for why you joined this challenge, and would welcome any reflection.
Hi, good morning, good evening, everyone. This is Somik, and I'm calling from Sunnyvale. And to Birju's question, why I joined the Kind Spring Challenge on Reverence, I was in New York recently, and I was in this beautiful Awaken Circle hosted by Steve Chan, and he told us about the Reverence Channel Challenge. And there was just something about that space where he had cooked for all these folks without any expectations, that his generosity just touched all of us. And when he shared about the challenge, I figured I should sign up, and here I am. And to Audrey's questions, I feel that just these last 21 days have been so magical, because reverence is, you know, it's something which helps you unlock the mysteries of all the wisdom that exists in this planet. It's like you read stuff about goodness in the world, but until you practice reverence, you don't know that it actually can be real. And that's largely been my experience the last 21 days. Been in difficult situations and very challenging situations, and somehow everything has been very smooth, because it turns out everybody is here to help, because I'm seeing or approaching it with more reverence than I normally do. So that's been one general observation. The second thing is, I've seen this in glimpses in the past, and I'm also seeing this much more consistently now, especially with part of the challenge, is that in order to have reverence for anyone, there is nothing the other person needs to do to earn that reverence. And that was a big aha for me when that happened, that you can actually choose to love someone or to really revere them just for the reason that they're alive. And it has nothing to do with whether you disagree with them or you don't like what their actions are. And this was driven home very powerfully to me in a work experience where we once had, this was many years back, we once had this manager who this vice president of a large engineering organization whose sole message was he wanted to outsource all the jobs off to India. And it was really weird, because I had come from India. This was my first consulting experience. I was consulting to that company. And my message was, don't outsource. You can do it much more productively by keeping the jobs here. So we were in this very intense tussle. And this is a pretty big political question as well. And it was fascinating that when we were in the middle of all this, there was a lot of negative energy building up in the team against this manager. And one day he called me to his room, and I felt that he might not really like our work, because what had happened was we were showing that we were much more productive. So I decided that day to enter his room with an intention to honor him and revere him, just respect him from the bottom of my heart without speaking a word. And I did that, I think part of the reason was I was reading The Power of Now around that time. And when I did that, this guy started asking me questions about our work. And at one point, he just stood up. And I thought the meeting was over and he was going to ask me to leave. So I also stood up. And what he had done was he just stood up to take a pen so he could make notes. I was stunned. I really didn't expect him to listen so deeply. And at the end of it, I felt so much connection with this man. And he was describing to me his big challenges in management. And he left me with a question that ultimately became a big reason for me to go back to school and study further. So it was, you never know that when you go in with reverence, and especially people you don't agree with or have issues with, some magical things just change and realign your life. So that's one story. I have many more, but I'll stop here.
Ha! Huh. Thank you so much, Sumik. I don't know if I want you to stop. Well, first of all, Audrey, do you want to share other ways folks can make contributions here?
Sure, yeah. So in addition to hitting star 6 to get in the queue to share a reflection, you're welcome to email in your reflections or thoughts or questions by emailing ask@servicespace.org. It's ask@servicespace.org.
And I'd love to just put another question into the mix for those who wish to press star 6. You know, we're all answering this question of what reverence means to us and welcome any reflections from others on that question as well. What does reverence mean to you? It can seem like a quite complex word, although the way that Sumik has answered it, I find to be quite elegant. And I'm curious, Sumik, as you think about this as a practice, I heard you practicing reverence with your boss in this particular case. I'm curious your reflections on pushing boundaries of reverence, right? So on one hand, it may be easy to do a simple act of reverence, but in that moment, it seemed to me like you were pushing your boundaries. So any reflections on how to do that or how you keep an eye out for the next opportunity to push your boundaries?
Well, let me answer that with another story that comes to mind. And this one is perhaps even more relevant to the challenge because it happened in the last 21 days. So as many of you know, in the Bay Area, rents are rising like crazy. And we finally realized it was unaffordable for us to live unless we could buy a home. The only problem was we didn't have any savings to really put in a big down payment. So we finally threw our hat in the ring and we found... we found this real estate agent who specialized in just helping little people get into little homes. And that was literally her motto. And she said, just the first time sale. So we got into this process and very quickly, within 3 days, we managed to find something and make a bid. And I get a call from the real estate agent saying, go and see the home right now. And that day I was very sick. And my daughter, I was picking up my daughter from daycare. So we rushed. And as I was driving, I think it was day 2 of the Reverence Challenge, I was just thinking about what does it mean to buy a home? And the information we had about this home was that a family had lived there for 40 years, and the couple, and then the husband had passed away. And the wife was very sick, and her daughter had come to take her away to another state. So the daughter was selling this home on behalf of her mother. And you can tell that there's such depth of stories behind a home because it's usually the way the whole process works, it's a whole bunch of numbers. And you're trying to get a good deal and everybody's giving you advice that you should negotiate hard and try to get the best you can. And it's very confusing because it takes you in the opposite direction of where you'd normally be with friends. So, I mean, to Bridget's question, I have these alarm systems now come set in place where I find if I'm hearing these trigger words like negotiate hard or try to get a good deal, that's a real time when I start thinking about reverence. So as I was driving with my daughter, I was just thinking about the fact that here is a space where this lady has lost her husband. She herself is battling with cancer in the hospital, and she's going to come home soon and you know, and she's, you know, here these people are going to trust us to honor their home. You know, they've planted deep roots and they're going to uproot their roots and go somewhere else and allow us to plant our roots there. And if you look at it in that way, it's like, oh my God, this is 40 years of love and life. How do you honor that? So we walk in and we look at the home, and the lady's daughter is there. And I wanted to say something to her about the challenge she's facing with her, you know, her mother's health. But the only way I could really honor that space was, you know, through my daughter. So I somehow felt moved to share something which would show that we respected what she was doing. So we thanked her, and I said, look, my daughter has already loved your home. It's so beautifully designed. And she's already found a room. And this lady got into this whole conversation. And my daughter is just 4 years old. And she's very shy in front of strangers. But somehow that day, she started answering all the questions that this lady was putting to her. She was asking, which room did you pick? Oh, that one. And I realized in that interaction that the room my daughter had picked out for herself was quite likely the room in which this lady had grown up in. I mean, these people were here for 40 years. So after that entire interaction, she said, okay, give me your name. And she noted it down. And later on that night, our agent said, oh, this is a dry run. This is your first time. We'll put in a bid. And the next thing we know, they accepted our bid. There were 18 other bids, including people who wanted to offer all cash. And somehow they just chose to go with us. So it really moved me that, you know, they could have picked other people, and somehow they picked us. They liked that interaction with my daughter, and I wanted to honor it in some way. So that the next few days, we had another opportunity to go visit. And this time, this lady's mother was supposed to come home from the hospital. And we were really rushing that, you know, okay, we're going to go do an inspection of the home just to make sure there's no problem. And again, it's this whole bunch of practical stuff. And how do you bring reverence in? And I think that was another prompt that particular day to see something magical in our life. So I was thinking, should we take a bouquet of flowers? The only problem was we didn't have time. So I just prayed hard that I want to honor what they're doing for us. And the next thing I know, I noticed this beautiful drawing that my daughter had made of a home. And she'd colored it with crayons. And in the second page, she'd put craft work showing a little girl, a mother, and a father. I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is something that money can't buy. And so we took that artwork and we tagged, and we literally had just 5 minutes with the seller's daughter, and she left the home so we could just see it by ourselves. And I gave it to her and said, this is for you and your mother. And she had a big smile, and that just meant a lot. You know, in between all the numbers and all of the practical stuff, that to me was perhaps the best experience I had in the entire process. So I feel like looking back, it's very easy for us to forget that home buying or any complicated process we get into, at the end of the day, it's really about aliveness on both ends of the spectrum. Here there was a buyer and a seller, and both are human beings. The agents who are helping us are human beings. The bank, which is processing our loan, they're also human beings who are so happy to help us get into a home. So it helped me see all of that and just develop gratitude instead of feeling like, you know, I have some right over this or something like that. So it was very, very helpful not to fall into those traps.
Congratulations on finding a home.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing that story. Audrey, shall we shift over?
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you so much, Selmik. It's so sweet to picture your daughter and interacting with them in their new home. We can switch.
Thank you.
Would be great to kind of hear more reflections from everybody, and also any other questions that you may have, Dirju.
I like this question of what reverence means to you, but if folks feel called to speak to the earlier one of why you signed up, or this idea of pushing boundaries, I think all of those questions would be welcome at this point.
great. Well, we can go to our next caller then.
Hi, everyone. Birju and Audrey. This is Mission Brooklyn, and that was a great share by Somik, and I'm very much enjoying this call. I'll answer a few parts of what you mentioned, Birju. I sign up for the Kind Spring Challenges because I love the increased contact that it offers with the kindness community. I always find great insights, and I feel growth from every challenge. So, you know, anytime a Kind Spring Challenge appears, I'm there. For me, reverence is deep respect and appreciation. And as many of you know, I recently had a serious surgery, which I'm recovering from now, and it made me more appreciative of my life and, you know, being here. And reverence, it resonated with me. I said, yeah, because I'm just, everything is more beautiful to me right now than it's ever been. This challenge for me helped me to be, I felt less distracted and more present to the world around me and inside me, and I was more mindful instead of mindful, F-U-L-L. I went to the park following a week of rain here in New York City. We had a week of glorious sunshine and mild temperatures, so I spent most of this week a few hours a day in the park, and this is where I was thinking about the Reverence Challenge, and just everything there, you know, just looked more colorful and beautiful. I just appreciated everything more. I met the most wonderful puppy who just blissed me out, came up to me and stood up on its little hind legs and wagged its tail when I bent over to pet it and planted kisses all over my face. And I had profound respect and admiration for our four-legged friends, and I just think the Kind Spring Challenges are wonderful, and I thank everyone involved in making them possible for us, and that's my piece today.
Thank you so much for sharing, Mish.
My pleasure.
May I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
My understanding of your connection to Kind Spring, this is not your first challenge.
Oh, no.
And so as someone who's been practicing for a while with these kinds of approaches, I'm curious what you've been learning about yourself in this challenge as opposed to previously, right? Because I feel like a lot of folks would look at this sort of thing and say, oh, gratitude, I'm already grateful. Good, you know, I've checked the box. Versus you who keep cultivating, right? You keep on repainting the same thing, but I would imagine at a nuanced level. And so I'm curious, what is that lesson learned?
The lesson learned for me is just the world just keeps becoming more and more beautiful because it is. We're just seeing things differently as I learn and grow. I'm seeing what's always been there. I'm just seeing it in its full brilliance. That's the growth that I've gotten out of. I think each challenge has enabled me to grow, as well as being part of the Kind Spring community, which totally transforms people who stay in the community. It's just magnified what's always been there and allowed me to see it more clearly. And that would be my reply.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mish. It's
thank you
both. Yeah, and your story that you shared reminded me of another story I had read on the feed, on the challenge feed, about another person's experience with songbirds. And I'll just read it. This person wrote, "This morning I had to get an epidural in my neck. I'm not a stranger to epidural, mid and lower back, but this is my first neck epidural. And to say that my anxiety level was through the roof would be an enormous understatement. My anxiety level then increased by the fact that once I was prepped and ready to go, I found the doctor was running a little behind and I would have to wait a little longer. I sent a whisper out to the cosmos asking for confirmation that I was doing the right thing with this procedure and also asking for courage and support to make it through the procedure. What I got back was an annoying bird chirping on a tree branch right outside my window. My first thought was, great, this is not calming me down at all. Then I heard multiple birds, and of course my thought then became, oh, goody, more birds, not... I closed my eyes, took a deep cleansing breath, and then it hit me like a freight train. The birds were singing to me. For the duration of my procedure, I listened to those birds for approximately 45 minutes and found that I was completely relaxed. Upon exiting the clinic, I asked my ride to wheel me by the tree where my four little birds were singing their hearts out. And not being an overly emotional person, I found that I had tears running down my face. I looked up at my birds and said, thank you for your songs today. As if they heard me, all four birds took to the air to go help someone else in need for the day. In savoring my surroundings today, I savored with my ears instead of my eyes. And again, I will put out to the cosmos, thank you for sending me four beautiful songbirds.
Mm. Isn't that beautiful? Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so thank you for reminding me of that story, for sharing. Gertrude, is there maybe another question that comes up for you? And then we can perhaps go to our next caller.
Yeah. Just to add more flavor to the soup, if you will, the question that I asked Mindy, I think that's a broader question as well. Of what are you learning about yourself thus far in these practices? My assumption is most anyone who would call into a discussion on reverence on a Saturday is not new to the topic of reverence, and yet here we are practicing. So. Would love to hear more depth. And again, also going all the way back to the beginning, if all you did was press *6 and tell us your name and where you were calling from, I think it would add value to the call. So you're welcome to call in and share as appropriate.
Thank you. We'll go to our next caller.
Hi, this is Aryeh on Half Moon Bay. Thank you, Birju and Audrey and everyone on this call. I want to go back to your first question, Birju, of why did I join this 21-day challenge. For me, it gets back to something you said about research, about the connection between doing and reflecting in community. And that's been a fascinating piece to me. I've been involved in spiritual community, as you've said, a lot of us. I've been involved in different ways in the practice of reverence. There's something about this process where we all get the same challenge on the same day, and then we share some experience, and then we get to interact with each other that... that is very special, very powerful, and for me it's kind of an ongoing learning experience to see how the dynamics of this spiritual community work. And so an immediate thing that happened right now that I've just learned in the past few minutes was Somik, listening to your reflection about buying your home, and congratulations on your home. And I hadn't thought about the process of home buying as something that has to do with reverence, right? It's a commercial transaction in a tough market, and you try to do the best you can. But then it kind of reminded me of what it was like a few years ago buying this home that that my wife Wendy and I are living in now. We actually hadn't been sure what we wanted to do living-wise, so we were renting a home. And we started, we rented this place in 2001. We thought, well, we'll see what comes next. And at a certain point, we decided, well, okay, we can do it. We would like to buy it. And we contacted the owner, and he was the head of maintenance of a big hospital, and he was born in China, and had been here for a long time with his family. That's all we knew. And when we first contacted him, he said, "No, no, prices are rising. We want to hold on to the home and sell it at a good time in the market." And we said, "Well, you know, if we can't buy, we may be moving out. We'd really like to talk some more and see maybe if there's a way it can work for everyone." So we wound up getting together with him and his family. There was him, there was his wife, there was his brother, there was his brother's wife, and there was his mother. And as we talked, we learned the story of this home, that they had come over, immigrants from China with very little, and one of the things they decided to do with their family is get the whole family together and actually physically build a home. So they camped out on this lot, and Max, who was the owner of the home, knew carpentry and knew building skills, so he was kind of in charge, and his mother lived in one tent, his brother and his wife lived in another. They were all here living on this lot, and they built the home, and they told us this story, and this was kind of a first step for them in getting a foothold in the U.S., and it was just such a moving story, the dedication of this family and what this home represented, that we had no idea. So I hadn't used the word reverence at the time, but looking back on it, that was exactly the mood. We felt a great deal of reverence for the family and for what this home represented. And we felt that we loved the home so much that we would be great stewards of it, and we would treat it with the appropriate respect. So bottom line, we were able to figure out how we could do the transaction in a way that worked for all of us. So Somik, thank you for your story, because it reminded me of my story, which gets me back to why I joined the 21-day challenge in the first place, is that I learn more about my own story when I hear yours, everybody, when we hear each other's.
Thank you so much for that context, Arye. And a 15-year-old story all the way to a three-week-old story, all connecting to reverence and home buying. What are the odds?
Thank you, Bruce.
I'm curious, Arye, given your own path here in asking these questions for some time, any reflections that you have on our broader culture and how it relates to this idea of reverence? Is this something that feels awkward for you to engage in this culture? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on how the culture reacts to it?
How the culture reacts to reverence. For me personally, you know, I've been involved in doing my best to in spiritual inquiry for most of my life, so it feels very comfortable for me. But your question on the broader culture, I think, is very interesting. You know, I'm sure we each have our take. We're each experienced living in this culture. My take is that sort of the outer form of this culture is that that reverence and a spiritual view of life has been, you know, when I was growing up, it's something you don't talk about in polite company, right? You talk about other things. What I've been seeing in the past, I'd say 15 years or so, is that there's a real shift, right? That it's not only okay, but becoming more and more common to talk about spiritual practice in the workplace. And that's, you've been one of the pioneers in that, Birju, in pushing that forward. So I am seeing a real shift in the culture from a being the public space is only about material stuff, right? And if you want to talk about spiritual stuff, you go to your church or your private space or whatever. And I'm seeing now that there's a growing shift of talking about spirituality in the public space.
Hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Arya. It's great to hear your voice. I think this question about culture, too, and talking about, you know, the even reverence in a public space, it made me remember a few inspirations when people joined the challenge. You know, one person wrote, "Since I survived a very serious car accident 6 months ago, I have developed a true reverence for life, for nature, and for all around me. I am excited to share and hear what other people experienced and witnessed." And someone, Catherine, just wrote in, and she wrote, "I have been spending the last year or so of my life spending much time with my father as he goes through the time when his life here on earth is coming to an end. This time has been wonderful. I have come to a new, amazing reverence for life. My reverence for his life has really grown, as well as the appreciation of my own and life in general. Our times together have become, even though sometimes very challenging, very precious times. We have shared so much and learned so much from each other. This amazing time is really why I joined this challenge." And so it's interesting, I'm thinking about, you know, how does reverence connect us with that bigger picture of life, and it seems, you know, there's kind of in some ways a theme of, you know, in those moments where we're facing, you know, death or unexpected circumstances or certain things like that, it kind of comes up, that awe, that wonder kind of comes up. I think maybe I'll just read this one other comment that someone wrote in with before we go to our next question and caller. So this woman, Linda, she wrote, "I remember sitting with my mom one day, weeks before the end of her life. I asked if she'd like to go for a wheelchair ride outside. No, she said. Then I asked if she'd like to go to the cafe for ice cream. No, she said. Then I asked, what would you like to do? She replied, I just want to be with you. So we sat quietly with each other. There wasn't much to say. I guess it wasn't what was said that was so profound and sacred. Or I guess it was what wasn't said that was so profound and sacred." So it's just interesting reflections on kind of those spaces in between and how reverence kind of tunes us into that maybe. Any thoughts, Virgil, or questions? And then we can go to our next caller.
I'd love to invite this question that Arya just shared on more broadly as well, this idea of reverence as a tool in culture and how you've seen that or how you haven't seen that. I'd also love to read one of the notes that struck me on the comment feed for the Reverence Challenge. This was posted by MNC91 a couple weeks ago. It was just a thank you to Kindspring that I have been barely a week in this site, but I guess my being part of this group has been making a good impact in my kindness journey. There were moments when I was all ready to do unkind acts or say unkind words, but just the mere thought of being a part of this community made me rethink my options. With all of us together, the world becomes kinder and people become more gentle. Smiley face. I read that and it just felt, I felt it apropos because I felt a bit of that on this call.
Thank you. We'll go to our next caller.
Hello, this is Mindy from Kindspring, Mindy Journey, and I'm calling from Central Illinois, where it's unseasonably cool, but it is very beautiful. I'd have to say that I've joined this latest challenge because I always enjoy the Kindspring challenges, And I think maybe this is my fourth, fifth, or sixth, I'm not sure, but this is my first reverence one. And I'd have to say that it has encouraged me to take a deeper look, to delve deeper within the meanings of the everyday grace in my life. Very grateful to see new members join during challenges and to see also their evolving transformation. It just lights up my heart to see people take this practice, everyday practice, into our lives. And it's an amazing thing. And I'm very grateful for the people at KindSpring and Service Space who sponsor these challenges. And I'd also like to take a moment to thank Somik. I remember your post, and I remember the drawing that your daughter did, and that memory will also stay with me when it comes time, when it comes time to sell our home as well, or buy another one. Also, it was great to hear Mish. We joke that we're twins because we have a lot of similar reactions and comments, and people confuse us all the time. And it was good to hear Arye and his reflections as well. And I'd have to say a particular deepening of my practice in reverence with this challenge has been opening up not only a deeper look into myself, but into my arbor. My arbor is a very special place for me in my backyard. And it's been very peaceful and quiet, full of nature and birds. And I joke that I'm Snow White because there's like birds and groundhogs and squirrels and everybody out there. But lately, the neighbor children have been coming over, 4 and 6. And there goes my peaceful arbor. But to see through their eyes, to see the clouds, they look up at the sky and they say, oh, look at that beautiful sky. And we look and we remark that it looks like a rainbow in the sunset. And it's just wonderful to encourage other people's reverence as well. I had a neighbor come over who was recently widowed and invited her to my arbor, and we just spent a lovely afternoon watching the birds and connecting. You know, she'd cry a little, and we'd talk a little more. And it's to cause a deeper look into our surroundings also calls a deeper look into us. And I'd have to say, with the challenges, they've inspired me in many ways. I like to write poetry, and of course, I've written a few during the challenge. Here's one I'd like to share, if it's okay. I posted it as well with a photo collage of my backyard flowers and things like that. So, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and
read it. Yeah, I'd love to hear it, Mindy.
Thank you. It starts. I've swam in dark nights where only stars lit my way, and satellites did distract. But then a scooch and a twist, and I was indirectly led to slip and slide on the Milky Way, causing dreams to shimmy and sway. I've danced in the clouds from sunset to rise, and always knew the joyous surprise of a larger glimpse of what is there or what we are, no matter where we journey, here or far. The eye of an iris winked at me, urging me to delve within her folds of a blossoming keep as azaleas burst pink of so many shades. I thought surely I was still asleep. Veins on a leaf or in my hand, we all reach to the heavens for a universal understand. Glories climb the vines as we collectively collect immortal, reverence granted through each portal. Slather ourselves in stars, dust, petals, and sun. We have just minutely, barely begun. And that poem was in response to the reverenced the challenge day to look at the cosmos and our place in it. So thank you for those of you who developed the challenge, and it's been a wonderful experience. And anything else I can share, just let me know. Thank you.
Mindy, that was an amazing poem. Thank you so much for sharing it with us again and also on the challenge feed.
Thank you for listening and putting up with that.
not hard to put up with that. It's quite the opposite. And I'm curious, again, given that you also are no stranger to challenges, and if I had to guess, I would say that you would be familiar with perhaps every single post that's been made during this challenge. If it's okay, I'd love to put you on the spot and ask if there's any particular story that stood out to you that you'd like to share here.
Well, you're right. There have been so many. I have faced this question over and over again when I'm asked to pull out a particular story, and I truly cannot bear you. It is such a wonderful melding of stories, and it's amazing because one will inspire another, and they will also inspire another, and the connection goes so deep. I would have to say perhaps maybe the bird one that Audrey had read, that stood out to me, as well as some people undergoing some challenges with, I know one of our members, her mother is dying. She's 98 years old, and I had sent her some peace doves. I make a lot of origami peace doves. I think I'm up to, like, my husband thinks 15,000 now that I've shared.
Oh, wow.
But I sent her some, and she put one in her mother's room, and she said even though her mother isn't aware, she knows that she has faith that it is giving her peace, that it is, you know, shining some light for her. So there are a lot of things behind the scenes like that as well, that we just have faith and we know it's rippling out into the world. So I'm sorry I wasn't much help there, but
You are. And to be clear, so this poster whose mother is going through tough times, do you know her personally, or this is through just connecting in the spirit of reverence?
Connecting through the KindSpring. She had recently become a member of KindSpring and then joined the challenge. As a matter of fact, I believe she is Community Member of the Week now on our KindSpring feed, which we're very, very pleased about that. And it's a wonderful thing to honor someone in that way. So no, I didn't know her before KindSpring. In fact, most of the people that I do send my doves to, I have met only through KindSpring. And
wow.
Although a few I have met in person since, but it's a wonderful privilege to connect through this portal, and it has just encouraged my transformation, and I'm very grateful.
And so are we. Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy. It was a beautiful poem.
Thank you.
I was also struck by what you said on how a deeper look into our surroundings also caused a deeper look into us. And I was reminded of, I think, one of the earlier days in the challenge, there were a couple of stories around, you know, leaving a place cleaner than you found it. And one in particular I was so struck by, this person wrote about how they cleaned up the toilet of their daughter's school. And they wrote, "I think no one will notice that I cleaned the place, and I think it will get dirty again." But when I finished cleaning, it just felt so good. I do not know where this feeling comes from and why I'm feeling this way, but I felt the power of one. It was simple and easy, but I received the gift of this big realization. And another participant wrote about picking up litter at the bus stop in Canada, and they wrote, "I had just missed one bus, so there were 10 minutes to wait. There was a rubbish bin beside the bus stop, so I started picking up cigarettes, bits of paper, and anything else that was litter and out of place. This particular bus stop is at the edge of a park that I love, and I hate to see it uncared for. A while back, when I picked up litter there, a man also waiting for the bus said to me, 'If more people did what you were doing, we would have a cleaner city.' That was encouraging. I often take a plastic bag with me when I walk in the park, but it seems to me it is getting cleaner, less cans just chucked around. Maybe people are beginning to care more. Let's hope." So I think it's an interesting reflection on how, you know, looking around us and those small moments or actions that we do around us can also kind of reflect back more deeply inside of us as well. So thank you, Mindy, for prompting those reflections. I'd also love to remind callers that if you'd like to get in the queue, you can hit *6 to share a story or reflection, or even just, as Birju mentioned, say your name and where you're calling in from. And you can also, for folks live streaming in, you can also enter a question in the comments box there, or email ask@servicespace.org. Birju, any thoughts before we go to our next question?
Just a quick reiteration of the questions that would love any reflection on, anything from why you signed up to the challenge and what reverence means to you, to perhaps a little bit more hard-hitting questions around pushing one's own boundaries or what you're learning about yourself in and through the practice of reverence.
Great. We'll go to our next caller.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Okay, hi. This is Madhu calling from Bangalore. I think this call has been very beautiful. I was stuck when Swamik said reverence can be done for anyone, and that person doesn't have to do anything. And even the stories which have been shared so far, very deep and learning a lot. Thank you so much. Regarding my own self, while practicing with the reference challenge, for the space, for the time when I was looking at cleaning a space, and also the fourth day, I was more looking into my own mind rather than, you know, a physical space. That's where, you know, I found like pushing a little bit of a boundary, though it all helped, happens mentally itself, but in my thoughts, in my imagination, I was looking at what places I have considered unsacred and trying to imagine myself going there and worshipping there. And similarly, you know, when it came to cleaning the cleaning a space, I was looking at my own mind and seeing some ego there, and like how even those whom I love, family and friends, sometimes how the ego is coming in between, and I'm unintentionally but trying to being judgmental or putting someone down, and I imagine such situations, and in my meditation and trying to clean up the space. So it was beautiful. It helped and just made me feel lighter in those moments. And these exercises, of course, I plan to repeat, so it will be more useful. I'm much grateful for the whole challenge setup.
Thank you so much for the share, Madhur.
Yes, thank you, Madhu. We'll go to our next caller.
Hi, this is Mikala Kozo from Cupertino, California. And I am so grateful for the 21-day challenge, reverence challenge, and for the space today. It's just so beautiful to hear people calling in from all over the world sharing about reverence. Birju, I wanted to answer the question, like, what does reverence mean for you? Because what came up was that in the course of this challenge, reverence has changed for me. And what I found, you know, because I was a surfer and I traveled all around, I was really into nature, so I also associated reverence with, like, you know, big perfect waves or, like, huge mountaintops, or, you know, awe. And what I've found in this challenge is that what's happening is that I'll get the challenge in the morning, and then something will happen during the day that will trigger the reverence challenge. And it's almost like God is sending me those perfectly timed emails to remind me of something that's going to happen in my day. And the best example I can give, yeah, it's amazing. And it's really putting me into a state of awe. And the best example I can give you was yesterday. So yesterday, I got an email from Audrey, and it said, hey, would you be willing to share about your experience with the 21-Day Reverence Challenge? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I opened the 21-Day Reverence Challenge for that day, and it said, accept your circumstances. And for me, I've never thought about reverence as accepting your circumstances, first of all. But for me, what that brought up in me is, as many of you know, I'm dealing with a cancer diagnosis. And accepting my circumstances made me have reverence for cancer. I have so much reverence for this diagnosis, for this disease. And I was just flooded with how much beauty, connection, joy, love, change that cancer has brought into my life. And, you know, just a few days before, I went to Awaken Circle, and I got like 10 huge hugs from all different people in the Awaken Circle, and I had to leave early, and I was driving away, and I was like, you know, those are some of the deepest, tenderest, loving hugs I've received in my life, you know? And I don't think I'd be, I mean, it's not like people are hugging me because I have cancer, but I think the cancer has brought us closer together and gave us the space where we can hug in that manner, in public. And it's just been beautiful. It's just been this beautiful thing to take something that's your present circumstance and have reverence for it and find how much beauty there is behind it and how much connection. I guess that's the best thing is connection. I mean, I feel connected to everyone's on the challenge. I feel connected to all the people who are sharing today. I feel connected to the people who developed the challenge. I feel connected to the people in Japan who are doing this beautiful, who've been doing this beautiful thing at Mount Fuji. So it's just been a whole new view of reverence and a whole new view of beauty and a whole new view of cancer and a whole new view of life that has just put me into awe, almost speechless, although by the number of words I just spoke, it doesn't sound like it.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing this perspective, Kozo. If I can dive a little deeper there, because I feel like you touched on something that for me is very alive as a listener, that on some level I find it more amenable to practice this idea of reverence as long as things happen to be hunky-dory, right? Like if the sun is shining or I can pay attention to trees or birds chirping, that's one thing. But I hear you practicing it for cancer. And I'm curious your thoughts on when reverence is quote-unquote hard. How are you able to reframe that? How do you invite that thought in when it just seems to me like it would be hard to even invite that thought in?
You know, Virju, it's not a thought, it's a feeling, right? And so it's not hard to invite it, it's just being open to the feeling. And what I experience, and it's not just me, I mean, I'm listening to people who've shared on this call about dealing with a dying mother, dealing with, you know, people dealing with medical issues, all different things, and finding reverence there. So I think it's a common thread. It's not just me and cancer. It's people, when you open to it, this feeling comes up, and this feeling, the best way I can describe it is this feeling of connection and energy and beauty that just comes up inside of you and makes you almost go, oh, like, you know, like, oh my God, you know, like, this is beautiful. This is life, you know, and it doesn't really matter what triggers that feeling. It could be, you know, a beautiful landscape or sunset, but it also could be, you know, like holding your mother's hand when she doesn't want to go get ice cream. It could be, you know, our good friend Mia spending time with her grandmother who has dyslexia. You know, it's like the trigger doesn't really matter. It's just if you're open to that feeling connects you with something that is larger than life. It's larger than life. And when you're connected to that something that's larger than life, like cancer, death, all those things, they don't really matter. It's not they don't matter. That you see a perspective where the connection is deeper than the loss.
Thank you for sharing that, sir.
Thank you for this space. It's another form of reverence, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Kozo. We'll go to our next caller.
Hey, this is Minky from New York.
Hello.
Hello, Minky.
Hey. I don't think my experience was as profound as some of the other callers, but and I'm sort of new to the whole being present and reverence and all this experiment, but I joined the experiment because I am starting a new startup, and I realized sort of with my head down in my laptop, you know, 14 hours a day, I felt I was being sort of sucked dry. And I just came across the email saying, you know, of the Kind Spring, and it just felt like something at the right time. And most of the emails that came through felt like that. It was small practices. Like you said, didn't take a lot of time, but something that just grounded me again, in something that I just needed for that day. Though I did notice that feeling of being grounded and that respect that I would gain, I guess it's because I'm such a beginner, didn't hold out always through the day. But yeah, it was a really, it's been a really eye-opening 21 days. Or, yeah, 20 days.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Minky. And I feel like what you're describing is something that speaks to the difficulty of practice. That on one hand, there's a certain beauty to when we have that inner capacity to practice. But sometimes it's not so easy. And so I'm curious, as you share this, that you know, even though it is a five-minute process, if we're going to take it on, sometimes it doesn't happen throughout the day. And so any thoughts or suggestions from your struggles in the practice? Like what would make it easier for you to stick to it?
One thing that helped me, I think it was the one on the eating part, where it was a mindful eating, I guess. That's something that I've been trying to do forever, and I've never been able to do it for whatever reason. But I read the email sort of the next day, early in the morning, reminded myself. And then even when I found myself like drinking my food rather than chewing it, when I was reminded, oh, mindful eating, just being reminded that it's not too late, and just taking the breath then and there and trying to practice it for the rest of my meal. Slowly growing from that was, I think, not trying to be a perfectionist was what helped.
And that's something that's possible seemingly throughout the day, not just in a meal, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess that's the practice part. I haven't quite gotten there yet. It's only when I do remember. It's like, oh, damn, I should be more mindful. But that sort of light bulb, I do notice, comes on more often and quicker as I try it more often.
Hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that perspective, and I think it's a broader question for us all of not just being in the space of how wonderful the practice may be, but getting in touch with the struggle of maintaining a practice, and what is it that would help us to be able to invite that in with a bit more frequency. So thank you, Minky.
Yeah, thank you. It also reminded me of someone else who had written in earlier, David, who wrote, "To me, reverence means respect and honor, and we connect to the simple gifts in each moment by paying attention." And just the way that you've described how you've been kind of paying attention and what comes up from that is really, it's really simple in a way and very ordinary in other ways and also very extraordinary. So thank you for sharing. We will go to our next caller.
Hey, guys. It's Guri from Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh. Oh no. Oh. Hello.
One second.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, sorry. Looks like somehow I got dropped.
And before you dive in there, Guri, just to let the person know who is on the queue, if you could press *6 again, that would be great.
Go ahead, Guri.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Now we can hear you.
Okay, great. I was just thinking about the word reverence, and I feel like, you know, growing up, there was almost a little bit of a negative connotation to it because I experienced it more in a religious context. And there was, you know, sort of this respect for authority, but also there was a bit of this fear of authority. So it was a little bit of a different word. But growing up, I feel like one of the things that changed it for me was running into a quote by Albert Schweitzer. He created the phrase reverence for life and used it sort of as a way of kind of an ethical philosophy. And in his own words, the quote says, "Ethics is nothing other than reverence for life. Reverence for life affords me my fundamental principle of morality, namely that good consists in maintaining, assisting, and enhancing life, and to destroy, to harm, or to hinder life is evil." And I feel like, you know, with the way that he looked at it as really, you know, ethical, as in, you know, we have to care and respect for ourselves and all other living beings, you know, whether it be animals, people, environment. How can you harm anything that you look at with sort of this as your own brother and sister? So I think he might have been responsible for even kind of globally shifting that definition a little bit. Certainly, you know, inspired me. And then in terms of this challenge, I feel like the daily reminders, you know, they really make you be much more present to life. I feel like it just allows you to sort of move through life a little bit more awake, a little bit more aware about everything around you, which naturally kind of invites in that feeling of gratitude and humility. I think that's sort of some of the things that I take away from the 21-day challenge.
Hmm. I'd love to follow up with you on that, Guri, because I feel like your practice of reverence, as I understand it, has also been continuing for some time. And from your perspective, are you noticing as time goes on a sense of being able to tap into the reverence of others? Like, how does it move from a personal practice to a more collective practice in your experience?
Things like this, right? When we do the 21-day challenges, where it brings it from this idea of reverence to how can we, as a community, as a society, practice it. I think, you know, that's something that helps bring it out. But I feel like it's such a profound feeling to be in reverence for life all the time that it's going to be a work in progress. You know, throughout life, because you forget, you get caught up in your in your small little world. And to constantly be in touch with this very, very broad that you're a part of, you know, you're part of the web, to go from sort of your micro self to the broad macro, that takes a lot of, I feel like, patience and presence and practice.
Hmm. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Guri. Before we go to our next question, we were also wondering, we think our friends in Japan might be on the call, and we would love to hear reflections from your experience with the challenge and also all the activities that you guys are gearing up for. So if you get a chance, we'd love for you to press star 6 to get in the queue, if you're able to. Yeah, Guruji, do you have any thoughts in addition to that?
I just would want to invite one question as we come closer towards the end of this call for us all to reflect on, and would welcome any shares through Star 6, but also just more at a personal level, that we've heard some powerful stories today about how we've been engaging in these practices. And I'm curious how each of us will want to continue a practice along while being true and honoring to how life speeds up. And when the 21-day challenge is over, there are many reasons to not practice reverence. And so what can we be doing to keep this kind of a practice going?
Great question. We'll go to our next caller.
Hello, I'm sorry to call in again, but Mish and I, this is Mindy, we were chatting behind the scenes, and we wanted to say about our dear Kind Spring Frontier, who recently transitioned, and we'd like to honor her memory in the reverence for appreciating our life to the fullest. And there are many ways she impacted all of our lives in Kind Spring, and we take that into our lives each day. Thank you.
Hmm.
Thanks, Mindy. On the question that Virju brought up, I also Somek also called in again, or also wrote in again after he shared his earlier reflections, and he wrote, "It's beautiful to hear everyone's stories. I had another reflection. Pretty much every difficulty I found myself in was due to lack of reverence in the situation, and the only way out of it was to bring reverence back." Yeah, it's a great reflection, Somek from California. Thank you for sharing and writing in with your reflections. Sarah from Indiana also wrote, reverence means to me to revere the unknowable essence which created us all and is always at hand if we open our hearts to receive assistance, no matter what state we are in, how poor, how ill, or how hopeless we feel. It takes our trust that we will receive help. And to keep reverence going, it's good to keep a daily journal. Yeah, so thank you, Sarah, from Indiana. Great thoughts. What about you, Birju? What do you think when you keep reverence or keep the practice of reverence beyond day 21? What kind of things come up for you?
I'd love to share, but if I may, I'd also love to share a quote from another caller, Albert Rowe III, if I may.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Albert writes, "Thank you for this wonderful space. Perhaps reverence is a unifying, always existing ground, a love energy, not something that we create through a doing, but something that finds us when we let go of ourselves and our stories. Letting this life energy in as it flows through us and appreciating in wonder and surprise. Thank you, Albert." And he's writing from Fallen Leaf Lake in the Sierras.
Wow, tuning in all the way from the Sierras.
And for me, my way of parsing things is perhaps more on the practical side. And so I enjoy reading and finding research on how to invite in habits into my life so that they stick, they're more likely to stick. And I remember reading this wonderful book by a Harvard researcher. His name is Sean Aker. And he wrote this book, and one of the chapters was on habits. And one habit he decided to take on was learning how to play guitar. And he said, okay, well, I know all of the tools. I just have to, you know, create a calendar item for myself, play the guitar every day. And then he set it up for 21 days because everyone knows after 21 days it's a habit. And he started going through the days, and it got to that time in the day where the guitar was there, and he just crossed it off. He said, no, I don't have time for this. And the next time he went through this, he realized, oh, I have to do a lot more than just put it on my calendar for 21 days. One thing he decided to do was he put the guitar in front of him. When he walked towards breakfast every day, it was staring him in the face all the time. He sent out notes to other people, and he said, look, I want to learn how to play the guitar. Please hold me accountable. And he did three or four more things. And so I'm sitting with those kinds of questions of, if I want to deepen in a practice of reverence, how do I remind myself so that as I start building towards a habit, it doesn't just fall off post 21 days?
Right. That's great. It's always interesting to, I think even this call I'm reflecting on, and I think one of our volunteers wrote on the back end, this is one of my favorite awakening calls ever. It feels like an awakened circle that spans the world. And it's true. It's powerful to hear, you know, all these reflections from all these different places. And I think in a way doing this together for 21 days really has strengthened my kind of conviction in it, and that's a great reflection, Birju, on how, you know, how we can kind of continue on it individually on our own as we go on. And we have just a couple minutes left in the call. Before we close, I'll just read maybe one more reflection that came in online. Someone had written, Radha from California wrote, I first want to share gratitude for the KindSpring team for making this platform possible. 21-day challenges is a new concept for me, and I am just beginning to understand how powerful they are in helping me stay grounded in my intentions. Reverence to me means being in the presence of sacred, being in the presence of true essence of everything and everyone. I want to share a notice that I read in an ashram that really brought clarity to this idea of reverence. There is a kitchen in this ashram or in this
kind of spiritual community that is used to prepare food to offer to God or to the divine on special occasions. There are certain rules that everyone follows, that like not talking, being present, and prayer during the process of cooking. On one wall of the kitchen, there is a small framed quote by Swami Ashokananda. I'm paraphrasing this quote. One should be very careful when attending to service or any action when it is offered. It is not because that somehow you will be punished or God or the divine will feel slighted. It is because when we don't approach it with reverence, we lose our own sense of what is good, our own sense of values, and there is no greater loss than that. I guess this challenge brought that sense back to me. As I worked in the garden, being in that space brought reverence to earthworms, who also, with many small beings, give nourishment to the plants, and in turn, all beings. It helps me be more present when I am with my patients, as I acknowledge the presence of the sacred in them and in me. I am also trying to practice saying a prayer or blessing to everyone that I come across silently after listening to one of the awakening calls. I think being in the space of reverence helped me to remember that more often. I struggle to be in this space every moment, but challenges like these are very helpful. Deep gratitude for everyone in this space who make this a possibility. With much love, Radha. What a beautiful note. And I think on that note, we're just about at the end of our 90-minute call, and it's gone by rather quickly, I would say, hearing everyone's stories and reflections. And Birju, do you have kind of any last words or any last thoughts before we...
Yes. I'd love, well, first of all, thank you, Radha, for sharing that wonderful note, and Audrey, for your gentle hand in guiding this conversation. There was one more note that just came in from our dear friend Yuka in Japan, who is one of the architects of this challenge. She helped create what it is that we're all taking on. And so she writes, hello, this is Yuka from Japan. And just as an editor's note, it's 2:30 a.m. in Japan right now. I am just moved. I'm so moved to hear each and every beautiful experience. I kept being shy, and then I tried to call in, and then I couldn't, so I'm joining in from email. I'm just so grateful for the noble friends, for this beautiful, rich community. Like Birju has said, the experience and reflection is really, really making so much learning. I love you all so much. More later, but for now, I wanted to send in my gratitude and bowing to you all. Yuka.
Hello, Yuka, 2:30 a.m. Thank you so much. Thank you for reading that, Birju. And on that note, I think we can close with a couple minutes of silent gratitude. Before that, just wanted to mention that for those of you who are interested, Yuka and her family and friends in Japan who are at the foot of Mount Fuji for this gathering of sending well wishes out into the world, they will have a live stream of their event in about 7.5 hours when it is morning in Japan. So we can also send out those details in our follow-up note. And also, as Mindy and Mish had mentioned about Tara, we'd love to kind of honor her presence. She was kind of an active member of the online KindSpring community and sent a lot of, you know, kindness ripples into the world and shared a lot of stories and you know, supported others in their kindness journeys. And so we'd love to close with a minute of silence in gratitude for this space shared on the call and also in honor of Tyr. So with that, thank you all for joining the call. I'll close with a minute of silence, and at the end, I will unmute us all for a collective chaotic thank you. So a minute of silence. Thank you all. Thank you. I will unmute us so we can do a collective and chaotic hello. And thank you to everybody on the count of 1, 2, 3. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Namaste.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Audrey.
Thank you for listening to a recording of Awaken Calls. To access archives, visit us at www.awaken.org. And to get more involved, volunteer at www.servicespace.org.